Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin, Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had introduced a new concept, the concept that Rava had introduced, and that is the concept of Palgina Debura, which teaches us that we could take a statement that was made and, so to speak, divide it into two. And that's why Rava said that when a shliach brings a get shichur regarding whoever brings a get shtar shichur, indicating that he is free and he has to say b'fari nechtam b'fari nechtam, as we will still be in mitzvah Shem learning. The halacha tells us that we accept his testimony as far as he himself is concerned, his declaration b'fari nechtam, as far as his freedom is accepted, but not regarding the document says that he's entitled to assets for that the owner had. For that part, we don't believe him. And Rava not only said that we accept this concept of palgina debura, we accept partial what he says, but not everything he says. But he says it doesn't make a difference how the statement was, how the shtar shichur is written, whether it's written atzmcha unchase knuyeloch, which means that he separated the two statements, the two issues, the atzmcha, the freedom of the evet, and the chosai, and the assets, whether if it was written kol nechosai knuyeloch, which is really one statement referencing to both elements of his situation, that he's free and that all of the assets that the owner is granting to him. In both cases, Rava applied the concept of Palgina Debura. We accept the Farinechtav regarding his freedom. We do not accept it regarding anything else. Amalei Rav Adabar Masna L'Rava Kaman, whose opinion are you following that you're taking such a strong, you follow the concept of Palgina Debura so strongly? You're following the opinion of Shimon Davar Palgina Debura. The Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us in Masech Depeya Peri Gimel Mishnah Ches, HaKosav Kon Chosav L'Avdoi, if somebody wrote all of his assets over to his slave, Yoitz Ben Chayim, he will go free. The reason he'll go free is because included in those assets is he himself, and he becomes the owner of himself. However, Shai Kaka Koshu, if he left over, he said, I'm giving all my assets to you besides one piece of property, then the halacha is that Layotze Ben Chayim. For we say that just like the owner kept this piece of property, he also kept the servant for himself. He said, Kol Nechosei Knuyeloch. He only meant to flatter the Eved, to make him think that he's going free, but he's not really going free. That is the opinion of Tanna Kamma. Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, L'Olam Ben Chayrim, in all cases, the Eved will go free, whether the owner left over a piece of property for himself, and he identified which piece of property. So there, Rav Shimon says, it's obvious that the Eved will go free, because he identified very clearly what he's leaving over, and everything else is as it is, and therefore the Eved, which isn't what he left over, will go free. And even if he did not identify which piece of property he's leaving over, we're not going to assume that the Eved's freedom is what was left out, because he says, it's property that I'm leaving for myself, nothing else. Of course, Rashi points out that in such a circumstance, even Rav Shimon will agree that since we cannot identify what is the property that was left over, and therefore in every piece of property we need to take into consideration that maybe that's the piece of property that the owner kept for himself, so the Eved will go free, but he won't get any property. Unless the owner says, Call the chosay in the sunil aploni avdi. I'm giving over everything to my servant. Chutz me'echem merubu shebehen. Even if he said that I'm leaving for myself, I'm retaining for herself, then 1/10,000. And of course, even if though the eved is worth more than 1/10,000, so why do I say, says Rav Shimon, that he left over the 1/10, that the eved is that that's left over? So one pshat that Rishonim suggest is because he's being mezalzel. He wants to degrade the eved. And he's saying, I'm not letting you go free. And you, to me, are not worth more than 1/10,000. Another pshat that the Rambam seems to learn in understanding this opinion is that when he says, I'm leaving over 1/10,000, I'm leaving over 1/10,000 means from every asset that I have, I'm keeping for myself 1/10,000. Since I'm keeping 1/10,000 for myself, so of every asset, so you're not being granted total freedom. Since you're not being granted total freedom, that's why the eved doesn't go free. The Medrash quotes this statement of Rav Shimon and tells us a story. The Medrash tells us there was somebody who went to Medina Sayyam, and he had a son who was who was learning Torah at Yisroel. This father who lived overseas was concerned about what his servant would do with all of his assets. So as what he did was that he wrote the following will or document. He says he's giving to the Eved all of his assets, which except one asset. The Eved thought that the son has a right to pick which asset he's allowed to choose to keep for himself. The Eved comes back to Tzisrael, holding on to this document and feeling, oh wow, not only am I now free, I'm a rich man, because apparently this man who passed away, the father of the person who's living in Eretz Yisrael, was a wealthy man. The son did not understand how his father had completely cut him out of his will and given everything to his Eved. So he went to Rav, says the Medrash, and he asked the Rav, help me understand what my father did here. So the Rav told him your father was actually a very wise man. He said, if I'll just not write anything, what will this ever have done? He would have never informed you, maybe, that I died. Or even if he would have informed you I died, he would have stayed in Medina Sayyam with all of the assets and just kept them. What I did was, I made the Eved feel very good. So I wrote this document that says that everything goes to the Eved besides one asset. What did your father mean for you to do? That you should choose the Eved as the one asset that you want to keep. And the Medrash concludes that Ula Adam Shatoiv Lefanov Nasan Chachma Vadas, that a person who acts appropriately, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, gives him the Chachma Vadas to know what to do properly. The Sfasem says that Eliezer Eved Avram Avinu, because he served Avram Avinu so faithfully, even though Canaan is cursed to be an Aror, became Baruch. Says the Sfasemis, why would a owner give his assets, all of his assets to an Eved, as we're discussing in our Gemara? Says the Sfasemis, sometimes you'll have an Eved that is so loyal and is so fantastic that it changes to be from Oror to Baruch. And just like Eliezer, Eved Avram Avinu, who's famous throughout the Torah for whom he was, so too any such Eved is worthy to become Baruch. But our mission, but going back to our sugya, Rav Shimon said, Lo'olam hu ben chayrim. What is Rav Shimon trying to use with the word Lo'olam? He's trying to teach us that in every case with these type of shtaris, and even in a case where the Eved won't take any ownership of property, Because as the example that the Braisa gave, where it was stated, chutz mikarka kolshehi, and we don't know which karka was meant, the Eved doesn't get any piece of property, because on every piece of property, we could say that this is the piece of property that the owner kept for himself. But that doesn't affect the status of the Eved. And Rav Shimon holds that we say palgid in the bura, and even though all the assets, all the properties will remain in the possession of the owner or his yarshim, given the situation, the Eved will go free. Presumably, that Rav Shimon is teaching us that under all circumstances, we say palgin and the brewer. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rav Yosef ben Yunni, amar Rav Nachman, apu shekilas Rav Yosef Rav Shimon, even though Rav Yosef praised Rav Shimon, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon. The halacha is like Rav Meir, because we don't say palgin and the brewer. So the question is, how could Rava base his psak on Rav Shimon when Rav Shimon is saying palgin and the bura, when the halacha isn't that way? Because as the Gemara teaches us, the Tanya kishnema dvarim lefnei Rabbi Yosi, when this entire halacha was said to Rabbi Yosi, karav lav hamikra azeh, the pasuk was said, yisfasayim yishak meish dvarim lechaychem. So Rashi says that the pshat in the pasuk, the pshat in the Gemara is that when somebody says that something not something very sound, he deserves to be kissed. The other mefarshim say just the opposite. When somebody's listening to a shir and he hears the maggid shir say something very geschmack, yishag, he smacks his lips in enjoyment. And when this was said, it was said, when they said how great what Rav Shimon said was, everybody was very impressed. Says the Gemara, Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, did Rav Nachman, but that doesn't mean that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. So says the Gemara. So again, how is Rava basing his position on Rav Shimon? Asked the Gemara, Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, did Rav Nachman actually say that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon? Vam Rav Yosef ben Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Shchimera. Throughout halacha, the Gemara often speaks about a Shchimera. A Shchimera is an individual who's very sick. And divrei shchimera kiksuvim kumsurim dami. Normally, in order for a transfer of assets to take place, we have to have a proper kinyan. A shchimera doesn't have to have that. We have the case. Shchimera shekosuv kol nechosuv la'avdoi. If a shchimera wrote over all his assets to his ever kanani, and then v'amad, he gets well, chosim in the chosim, he could go back from what he said regarding the assets, because the halacha is that the transfer or the what the Shchimera says is accepted regarding, because that he only said it because he thought he's going to die. And that's why the Mishnah Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis, teaches us that a Shchimera, the rights over to all of his assets to others, and he didn't keep anything for himself, and then he, Baruch Hashem, gets better. The entire statement is reversed. He can't go back what he freed the Eved. And Rav Nachman explains, he can reverse what he said regarding the Nechasim because it was only Ishmatana Shchimera. And as we just explained, Shchimera can reverse what he says. Once he was declared a Ben Chayrim, even though, as Rashi explains, that maybe he shouldn't have had that status. He really didn't deserve to have the status of Ben Chayrim because the freedom that he was granted was because the owner was a Shchimera. But once he gets that title, makes him be treated like a full-fledged Jew, and that's not something that could be reversed. So we see that we divide what the Shchimera said, and we do let the Eved be free, but we don't let the Nechasim go to others. So ask the Gemara, how can we say the Rav Nachman doesn't agree with the concept of Palgin and the Bura? In this case, it's very clear that he does. El Amar Rashi, says Rav Ashi, that actually Rav Nachman does subscribe to the concept of Palgid and Debura. And why did he paskin like Rav Meir that did not agree to Palgid and Debura, as we learned at the beginning of the shir? Hossam, the reason when somebody writes Kol Nechosov Avdoi, but then he retains something for himself, even though, as Rav Meir discussed the case, that what he retained for himself were karka. Karka is certainly not the Eved. The reason why the Eved doesn't go free, suggests the Gemara, is a whole new reason. For a shtar shichur, and actually for a get, to be considered an effective shtar shichur, or to be considered an effective get, it has to be something that completely terminates the relationship. When the shtar is lacking in that important quality, then the halacha is it's not considered a valid shtar. Hainatama mishum delav kruz kitahu. Because when he leaves something over, it's because he did not show a total termination. And since the shtar is written in a way that doesn't completely separate them, doesn't completely terminate the relationship, therefore it's not considered a valid shtar. It's not considered a shtar shichur. It's lacking in the creases that we're trying to accomplish. And therefore, anything that doesn't completely separate the two is not considered a shtar shichur. But not because of Palgid and Debura. So now, says the Gemara, we can well understand what Rav Nachman is saying. On one hand, he agrees with Rav Meir. The reason he agrees with Rav Meir is because, as we just explained, there's no the creases is not an effective creases. But in a case where that is not the situation, so we could say Palgid and Debura. And if that's the case, Rav's position that he's been using the concept of Palgid and Debura will stand. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody brings a get from one place to another place in Eretz Yisrael, if they're those that make a claim against the get, what we should do is Yiskayim Bechisomov. We should take two Edim who are signed on the get, either they themselves, or if they themselves are not available, we bring other people who know the signature, and that's how we certify the get. Ask the Gemara, Irakama, how many people have been making a claim, how many people exactly were making a claim against the get? Ilema irachad, if there's one person that came and made a claim against the get, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ask the Gemara, hasn't Rabbi Yochanan taught us, divrakal en irer pachas mishnayim, that any such claim that's made by less than two people is not halachically considered? Ela trei, even you'll say, ask the Gemara, that two Edom came and made a claim against this get. Why is this not? Why, by certifying the get, will that help us any? Won't this be a situation of trey utrey? We'll have the two Edom certified on the get. Even if they're certified, they don't remain more than two Edom. And now we have two other Edom who are making a claim against the get. So that will leave us with a trey utrey, two against true. And why would that not be? And therefore, the question the Gemara is posing is, my chazis, the samchas ahani, smoich ahani. Why? Why should we accept the Edom who are signed on the get more than we should accept the Edom that are making a claim against the get? And Tosfos adds an element to this question. Tosfos says that let's remember that this woman has a cheskas eshish. So if we have a situation of trey utrey, what does the halacha tell us to do? That we leave things status quo. And this woman has a chazaka v'esishish. Says the Gemara, Ella, the case is ira de baal. The husband comes and says that the get is false, or the get was not written l'shma. And then, if the Edom come and say, and the Edom are able to certify their signatures, then there will be effective. Of course, the Ran teaches us, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, that this entire discussion that we're having here is only in a case when the shliach who brought the get did not say b'fanenechtam. But if he said, as we learned from the beginning of the Masechta, that if the shliach says b'fanenechtam, that becomes a very powerful way of certifying the get. And as we also learned, and the beginning of the Masechta, that even if the husband afterwards will come and make a claim against the get, once the shliach said b'fanenechtav, it's going to be acceptable. Says the Mishnah, maybe get medin sayam. We've already quoted this Mishnah previously in our Masechta. And maybe get medin sayam. If a get is brought from medin sayam to Yisrael, v'ena yachal loymer, and the shliach is unable to say b'fanenechtav, im yesh lov edim, if there are edim signed on the shtar, yiskayim b'chesomav, we should certify the get. So Taisus Yontif points out that what does the Mishnah mean by saying im yeshal of edim? Because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, Rebbe Lazar's opinion is that edim is seira karti, and since edim is seira karti, we don't need to have edim sign on a get necessarily. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that if there are edim signed in this get, even Rebbe Lazar will agree that we could certify the get through the signature of the edim. And once we certify the get through the signature of the edim, then that will be enough to make that the get should be considered a valid get. Says the Mishnah further, whether we speak about a get of a woman, a husband, a termination of a marriage, or whether we speak about avodim being freed, shavu, they are similar in the halacha of Moivi, that if somebody brings a get or shtar shichur from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, or get from Eretz Yisrael, or get from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, and you have to say b'fanenechtam, and says the Mishnah, v'zu echem min hadrachim, this is one of the ways that the halacha compares Sheshava Gitei Noshim L'Shechurei Avadim, that Gitei Noshim and Shechurei Avadim are treated in the same way, that in both cases we're supposed to say B'Fanenechtam. So I saw a beautiful vart in understanding this. If we think about a woman and her get, so of course a woman, if the get is not going to be accepted, will remain an aguna. And throughout Shas, we have a concept of mishum aguna akil barabonan, how lenient Chazal were in treating an aguna. An eved, on the other hand, of course, we want to do for the eved whatever we can, but we certainly can't compare the plight of an eved to the plight of an aguna. And therefore, the question that comes up is, why is the Mishnah teaching us, as we just learned in the Gemara, that b'fanenechtam certainly represents a tremendous leniency. And if it represents a tremendous leniency, why do we apply this leniency to an eved just the same way we've been applying it to a woman who gets a get? So what is the concept of, what is the halacha of an eved? So we know the halacha of an eved is that he's only mechuyev in mitzvahs, he's only obligated to do mitzvahs kenoshim, like women. So that means as long as this eved is an eved, he's deprived of the opportunity to do mitzvahs. And since he's deprived of the opportunity to do mitzvahs, that also is similar to an aguna. And it becomes our obligation to do whatever we can, to help him be able to get free and accept the testimony of a shliach saying b'fanenechtam. So we began the Mishnah by teaching about a case where the shliach was unable to say b'fanenechtam. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Mena yachaloymer. What does it mean when we say he wasn't able to say? Ireimer, if we'll say because the shliach was a cheresh. Ask the Gemara, cheresh. Barasir Gitahu is a person who's a deaf mute, an individual who's kosher to bring a get. Aren't we going to learn in a Mishnah on Daf Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, Hakul Kshem Lohavias Aget, Chutz Mecher Shaitu V'Katan, that is completely disqualified to be a Shliach. Amar Rav Yosef, to which Rav Yosef responds, Hachav Ma'eskinen, the Mishnah is referring to a situation, Kigon Shenosun Lokushu B'Keach, the Shliach was given the get when he was B'Keach, and he brought the get, and he gave the get. However, he did not have the opportunity to be able to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, ad sheneschharish. So since when he gave over the get, he was still Baruch Hashem a b'keach, so his giving over the get as a b'keach, therefore, it's considered a valid giving over the get. But unfortunately, and because he wasn't a b'keach at that point, but on the other hand, he can't say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. So Tosfos asks, as we've quoted this question of Tosfos previously, why can't we say, why do we have to say that it's speaking about a pikeach? Why can't we say that we're talking about a elam? An elam is somebody who's qualified to give a get. Only a cheresh who can't hear and speak is disqualified. An elam, but he still can't say b'fani nechtam because he can't speak. So the Ran says that an Elam, even though he can't say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, he could write, if he'll write b'fani nechtam, it'll be acceptable. And the Ran actually quotes a Gemara that we're going to learn later in the Masechta, on Daf Ein Aleph Amun Aleph. He says that in the case of Edis Isha, where we're going to speak about testimony about the death of a husband, so again, as we just discussed, there's a concept of Mishmei Guna Kila Barabonon. Chazal were lenient in the case of Iguna, and we allow testimony to be accepted even though it's just written. Normally, Beis Din does not accept just written testimony. Here, the halacha will be that written testimony will be accepted. Says the Ran, if we're learning that the whole concept of B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam, is because of Mishum Iguna Kilo Berabonon, and Elaim could write the testimony. The Rivash, however, says that Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that B'fani Nechtam is only acceptable when it's offered orally. B'fani Nechtam cannot be said. B'fani Nechtam cannot be said. Just cannot be accepted written. We learned in the Mishnah, both in these cases, you have b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. Says the Brisa Tanah Rabbanan, b'shlosha drachim shavah gitei noshim v'shechrurei avadim. In three ways, gitei noshim v'shechrurei avadim are the same. Shavu l'melech mevi, the halacha b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. V'kol get sheyesh olav eid kuti, any star that has an eid kuti, signed in it is possible. Chutz migitin noshim shechurei vadim, and the chol hashtar is ha'olam ba'akosh l'ayv t'kachavim. Any document that is issued by a non-Jewish court, apli shechesmeim ayv t'kachavim, and even though the edim signed on it are ksherim, and the halacha is that since, and the reason is because the included in the Zayin mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach is that they have to have dinim. And once they have to have dinim, they are obligated in keeping their monetary, the civil issues, honest. And actually, as the Rishonim take this a step further, this is the basis for the rule which is going to be applied extensively in our shiur today. This is the basis for the rule of dinah the mechusa dinah. And therefore, a civil document that is issued by a non-Jewish court is going to be accepted. Chutz migitin noshim v'shechurei avadim, that if a get or if it was done in a non-Jewish court, it would not be a pos. It would not be accepted because the pasuk says the cost of loss sefer krisis v'nosin biyada. The Torah connects the kasa v'nosin. We learn from this that only somebody who is in the parsha, somebody who is in the subject matter of Gittin, which of course the Torah, when it speaks about Gittin and Kedushin, is obviously speaking to Jewish people, such a person could write a get, and his get will be considered a valid get. However, if, and the same thing is by Shtar Shichur, because throughout Halacha, the Halacha compares the Halachas of Shtar Shichur to Gittei Noshim. And if Gittei Noshim can only be written by somebody who is in the parasha of Gittin, meaning a Jewish individual, so too will be the Halacha by Shtar Shichur. But other things which don't apply to the other civil laws, which as we just explained, apply to non-Jews and Jews equally, Dina Mechusa Dina gives credence to those documents. And says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Kedivrei Ramei Ba'arba. And according to Ramei, there are four ways that Gittei Noshim Shtar Shichur are the same. So Rashi has been focusing that the reason why a get written by a non-Jew is not acceptable, because there we can't apply the concept of Dina de Mechusa Dina. Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Afapi, gives three more reasons why a get written by a non-Jew is disqualified. One is that the halacha of Lishma that we keep on discussing in our Masechet is so significant, and therefore, when an Akum signs a get, we have to be concerned that he didn't sign it Lishma. And Taisa says that even if he'll be directed to sign it Lishma, we have no way of knowing that he actually did that. Another explanation that Taisa suggests is that the husband has to appoint the aide to be his shliach when he signs the get. And an akum is ain't about shlichus. The halacha, which of course we apply throughout Shas, of shlucha shel adam kamaisai, does not apply by akum. And thirdly, Taisa says that an akum is not considered an aide. And an aide has to be, only a Jew could be an aide, an akum cannot be an aide, and a get without aidim is not considered a valid get. And then Tosfos, because of this point, makes a very important point. He says, when we think about shtaris, when we think about documents, documents could actually accomplish two things. Documents could be a raya, they could show that what happened, and documents could be a way that something is affected. Says Tosfos that a document that the documents that we're saying in our shir that the akum prepare and sign are valid are only akum, are only documents that are here for a raya. But if it's not a document that's here for a raya, that's here, if it's a document that affects something, then it wouldn't be to create something, to create a transaction, then it wouldn't be valid if it was prepared for Akum. Why didn't Rashi say that the same explanations that Tosfos added, why a get prepared by an Akum would be disqualified? So the Achronim tried to say a number of different pshatim. The Pnei Yeshua quotes a Mordechai, and the Ktzayis also takes this approach, that there's a Mordechai that says that a get that when the Torah requires Edom in many situations, says the Mordechai that there's nowhere in the Torah does it say that an Akum is possible for Edom, for Edus. Another thing that says the Pnei Yeshua, that why that Tosfos was concerned, we're going to tell the Akum to sign the get Lishma, that, and we're concerned that he won't. Says the Pnei Yeshua, why didn't Rashi agree with that consideration? So says the Pnei Yeshua, it really goes back to the previous point. He says, as we just quoted the Mordechai says that Rashi holds that technically Akum can be kosher as an aid. Why does the Mordechai hold that way? So says the Pnei Yeshua, because the Mordechai's opinion is that we need not necessarily be concerned that an Akum is a chakran, that an Akum says something which is not true. So just like says the Pnei Yeshua. The Rashi is following the opinion of the Mordechai that Akum are not necessarily considered Shakronim. Rashi will also hold that if the Akum is instructed to sign the get Lishma, and he then tells us that he did sign it Lishma, we don't have to be concerned that he's saying something which is not true. Furthermore, says the Pnei Yeshua, Tosfos concerned that the Edim who are signed on a shtar become the shluchim of the husband. And then we have the concept of shliach shalom kamaisai, which doesn't apply by Akum. Says the Gemara that we don't necessarily have to hold that the shlichim on a get are the shluchim of the husband. Why do we necessarily have to say that they're considered an extension of the husband? We could say that the Torah gave a parsha of a get, and that the Torah says, of course, that a get has to be written by a sofer, and that the get has to be signed by Edom, but they don't have to necessarily act as shluchim of the husband. If they don't necessarily have to act as shluchim of the husband, we need not apply here the concept of shlucha k'maisai. Says the Gemara, we're going to learn in a Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis. Haimer, if somebody says to a shlich, ten getzel ishti, or shtar shichrezel avdi, v'rat zalachs v'shneim, if the husband wants to change his mind, he doesn't want to divorce his wife, he doesn't want to free his eved, yachser, divrei Remeya. And this is where Remeya holds where they're the same. And what's the basis over here? And here too, we introduce a very important concept. And that is the concept of Zochel Adam Shloi Befonov, Ve'en Chavel Adam El Befonov. If I ask somebody to take something on behalf of somebody else, does it become the person to whom I'm sending its property only when he receives it? Or does it become his immediately now? The concept of Zochel Adam Shloi Befonov is that if I tell somebody, take ownership in this, take this for somebody else, if what I'm sending to this individual is something which is to his benefit, then Zochlan Shlobefanov, it becomes his right now, doesn't have to wait until he actually receives it. So a get, the Gemara is saying, is a chayv, that a woman should get divorced, and therefore, when I ask somebody to deliver the get to the woman, to the wife, it's not yet hers. And therefore, we can't, because it's not a schus. And Reb Meir is saying the same thing is by Shechrur Evonim. The Rabbanon in that Mishnah disagree with Reb Meir. And the Rabbanon, of course, agree that a get is not considered something positive. And since they agree that a get is not considered something positive, the get doesn't become the wife's until she actually receives the get. But the Eved going free, of course, is a tremendous schus for him. And since it's considered a tremendous schus for him, then the Eved, as soon as somebody takes the Eved, receives the shtar shichur for the Eved, the halach is that he becomes free. We apply here the concept of Zochem L'Adam Shloi Befonov. There are those that have a different approach to Remeir's opinion, and they say that the reason by Shtar Shichur the Eved doesn't go free is because the Shtar Shichur is how do we understand Zochel L'Adam Shloi Befonov? Because it becomes a shliach on behalf of the person that he's taking it. You can't be a shliach for a Eved. And as the Tzoyis explains those opinions, this whole concept is Gzeiras HaKasuf. The Gzeiras HaKasuf was only said by people who are shlichim. There's obviously a fundamental question that needs to be understood here. And that is that the Gemara is saying that a get is a choyv. The Rabbanon are saying that get is a choyv. And therefore we say, Ein chavim la'odom el b'fonav. And is going free is a schus. And every going free is a schus. And then we say, Zochel adam shloi b'fonav. So, as the Mefarshim, many Mefarshim ask the question, sometimes a get is a schus. There are women who are desperate to get divorced and they're waiting for divorce for a very long time. How can we say that that get is not a schus? And sometimes a servant is very happy where he is. And how can we say that him going free is a schus? So the Chasam Sofer, and answers this question, says that where do we find the entire concept of Zachal Adam Shalai B'fanav? He says that the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Kedushin, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that when they were dividing up Eretz Yisrael, so it wasn't like all the members of Klal Yisrael were there as they were dividing up in Eretz Yisrael and everybody got a piece. The Nesiim of every Shevet got a share for his Shevet. And he took ownership on behalf of all of them. And now let's think about it, says the Chasam Sofer. He actually says that this is a Ramban. He says that we think about it, is it probable that every member of every Shevet was satisfied with what the Nasi did on his behalf? He says, it's highly unlikely that every Shevet was satisfied with what every Nasi did, that every member of every Shevet was satisfied with what was done by the Nasi. So why was it effective? The answer, says the Ramban, says the Chasam Sofer, is because we follow Rav. Most people were satisfied. So even though there might have been people who were dissatisfied, the halacha doesn't take that into consideration. The halacha looks that since most people are satisfied, that is enough. Says the Ramban, the same, says the Chasam Sofer, we're going to apply the same concept in our Gemara. Most women, in most cases, a get is something which is a chayv. So even though there may be exceptions to the rule, where a get is a schus, we have to follow, based on the source of learning the Gemara of Zachal Adam Shalai B'fanav, we have to follow the typical situation. And by a get, the typical situation is that it's a chayv. And therefore, we're going to apply the concept of Ein Chavin L'Adam Ela B'fanav. On the other hand, says the Chasam Sofer, most cases, when an eved is going free, it's a schus. So even if there'll be an exception to that, even if there'll be an exception to that rule, it wouldn't change anything. The halacha will be that will say Zochel Adam Shalai B'fanav. Says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Rabbanan, we began the Braisa, and the Braisa said that there are three ways that Gitei Noshim and Shechurei Avadim are the same. So says the Gemara, why did the Braisa have to tell us the number? So it says Bishlam L'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, Minyana, the number that was mentioned is very important. Lamuti Hadarame, to teach us that we don't agree with Rameya. El Rameya, but says, ask the Gemara, according to Rameya, Minyana Lamuti Mai, what was the need to say four? Answers the Gemara, Lamuti Hadatanya, to teach us a different halacha. The Braisa teaches us, Edom Sheyendim Nalachdam. If there are Edom that don't know how to sign the names, Mekarm Lahem, we cut out a piece of paper with their names, and Malam is a Kroim Diyoy, and they fill it up with ink. So there's a Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, what does the Gemara mean? Rashi explains the Gemara simple, that we cut out their names, and they have to fill in with ink. Tosfos and many Rishonim are bothered with Rashi's Pshat, because if that's the case, what is a signature? A signature is that every person has his own unique signature. If I'm making the signature, and all I'm doing is asking the Edom to fill in what I wrote, so then that's not his signature. It becomes my signature. And if that's the case, that it's my signature, then the halacha is, why is that considered a valid signature? And in order to explain Rashi's Pshat, they say what Rashi really means to say is that we start cutting out the signature, but we don't do every letter completely. Because indeed, if we're going to do every letter completely, that would not necessarily be considered that would not necessarily be considered a valid signature. But Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that for Edom who can't write their names, what they used to do is have a stencil that had the alibis in that stencil, and the Edom used that stencil to sign their name. When is it said that you could sign, that Edom could sign that way? That's only Begitti Noshim. If they know how to read and sign Chaismim, Mamlav ain't Chaismim. So ask the Gemara, Kriyaman Chadishmei. The first question the Gemara asks is, we're speaking about people who aren't able to sign. Where did writing come into this conversation? Answers the Gemara, Chsur Mechs Rakhtani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Edom Sheinim Nikler Grois. If Edom can't read what it says in the Shtar, Karim Lefneim, we read the get. They have to know what it says in the get. And then the Chaismin. Because the Aloch is one may not sign a get without knowing what it says there. One may not sign a document. So, of course, the Rishonim asked the question, if I don't independently know what it says, everything I know is only based on what was read to me, why should we not be concerned that what was read to me is not really what it says there? So the Ramban answers, that's a milsa davida l'gluya. Even though I may not know what it says here, independently, and therefore there's a concern that maybe what was read to me is not true, says the Ramban, ultimately, we're going, if he was lied to, he'll find out. Somebody else will read it to him, and therefore we could trust it. And Edom Lachtoim, if we have Edom that can't sign, the Karmel Fneim. Vesuleka, ask the Gemara, are there no other cases where Gitei Noshim and Shechrui Avadim are the same? Vika, there's a Gemara we're going to learn on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. If somebody gave directive to give a get to his wife, or shtashichur to his eved, umeis, and he died, the husband, the owner died before it could be given, lo yitnu lachamisa, because the halacha is ain't get lachamisa. A get cannot be effective after the husband is dead, because the marriage is already terminated through his death. And same thing with a shtar shikr. Whereas, if somebody says, tnu mana l'plenum meis, then yitnu lachamisa. So isn't this another example, ask the Gemara, where gittin and shtar get and shtar shikr are the same? Answers the Gemara, kiktani, the braisa that's discussing how many ways, the different ways that shtar shikr and get are the same, a milsa d'leisa b'shtaris. This are halachas that apply only by shtaris. Milsa de isha b'shtaris, something that applies by other documents, like tani, we're not mentioning. And the halacha, that if a husband or the owner died before what he said was actually done, it can't be given after he died, also applies by shtari matana. For example, if a shchimera wants to give a gift, and he says, give this shtar matana to somebody, and then before the shtar matana was given, he passed away, the Gemara is going to teach us that shtar matana becomes invalid. The Shalach Rav Mishmei Dervua. Have Yoidin. Be aware, Shashalach Rav Elazar L'Goylem Shem Rabbeinu, that the following lesson was sent by Rav Elazar in the name of Rav. The Shchimer HaShomer Kisvu Utenu Mana L'Ploini. The Shchimer has said, write the shtar that I'm giving this individual a certain piece of property, and umeis, and then the shchimera passes away. And kaisuv nisnan, if he passed away before his instructions were carried out, too late. Shema like gamalak nisay, because maybe it was the intention of the shchimera to transfer the property el b'shtar only through a shtar. Vein shtar lachamisa, and the shtar cannot be effective after his passing away. Ask the Gemara, but there's another halacha in which Gitei Noshim and Shechrui Avadim are the same. Vikla Shma, the halacha that a get that we keep on learning has to be written Lishma, and the same halacha applies by Shtar Shechrui. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rabba, according to Rabba, that we already learned at the beginning of Masechta, that says that the reason b'fanim nechtam is recited is because of l'shma ha'enu malach ha'mevi. So when we know that by both of them we have to say b'fanim nechtam, that is what's meant. So l'shma is already covered. El l'Rava, that says the b'fanim nechtam has nothing to do with l'shma kasha v'su, and ask the Gemara another question. Bein l'Rava, the halacha is hoikem mechuber, that if a get was written when it was attached to the ground, you wrote the get on a leaf that's attached to the ground, the halacha is the get disqualified. As we learned earlier, because the Torah HaKadosh says, v'kosel ha'sefer krisis v'nosn b'yada, the get has to be written in a way that immediately after it's written, it can be given over. But if it's not able to be given over immediately, you first have to detach it before you can give it over, it's a disqualified get. Another reason the Rashba explains why, if it's written by Mechubar, it's possible, because the Torah calls a get a sefer. A sefer, by definition, says the Rashba, is not something which is connected to the ground. Answers the Gemara, Kiktan Ipsul Drabonin. The Bryce is only listening disqualification of Drabonin. This issue of Mechubar is a psul deraisa, deraisa like tani. Ask the Gemara, Vaha, the locha of Arkosh shalav dekhovim, the psul deraisa, that a get that's written in a non-Jewish court, as we discussed earlier, is disqualified because they have no connection to that halacha, and yet viktani answers the Gemara. The Mishnah that says that a get that's written at kos is possible, is the edim asira, that if there were edim asira who are kosher edim, then the get is good. Because as we've been learning, we follow the opinion of Eleza, dama edim asira ktani. And therefore, since the get is a good get, it's only midrabanon that if it was done by a kos, that it's not. Ask the Gemara, v'amidik tani sefer. The Sefer says, "Rishemin Oimer Af Elu, even a get that was done by a cause shall akum ksherim." Amar Rav Zera, Yard Rav Shimon Shitas Shre Belozer. Why is Rav Shimon saying? Rav Shimon, it says, the Rav Zera is following the pin of Rav Belozer. Dama Edim Asiri Karti Mechlal. The Tanakama Sover. It's obvious that the Tanakama of that Mishnah does not agree with Rav Belozer, and he doesn't hold Edi Masira Karti. He holds like Rameya, the Edi Chsima Karti. And if they're signed by Goyim, then it's disqualified by the Raisa, because the Edi Chsima, according to Rameya, are the ones that make the get into a get. And this get, if it was signed by Akum, is disqualified. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. The Tanakama also agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, the Edi Masira Karti. And therefore, if a get was processed by the Akos Shel Akum, as long as the Edim Asira were valid Edim, the get is kosher Midaraisa. So if that's the case, what is the difference? Ikvanayu Shemus Mahakim. That if the names that were signed on the get were names that are obviously non-Jewish. So in such a case, the Tanakhama holds that if it's Shemus Mufhakim, it's Mezuyif Metoichai. The are Edim that are signed in it that are obviously not Jew, and we're going to come to rely on them. Rav Shimon holds that only in a case where there are names that we could get confused do we need to be concerned. But in names that are obviously not Jewish, we don't need to be concerned, and that's why they get this kosher. Ask the Gemara of Al-Chazara. The din that we spoke about, if somebody said 10 gets ela ishti, or shtash shechuz ela avdi, if he could go back, is a din deraisa, because he's being mevatel the shlichus, which is a deraisa, and yet it's taught, el ki tani, so the Gemara goes back. To say that the braisa is only talking about the rabbonins and the rice, not the raises, is not the way to understand the braisa. El ki tani milsa delaisa b'kedushin. Only halachas that don't apply by Kedushim, that only apply by Gittin Shechre Avodim, are listed. Milsa de Issa B'Kedushim, like Tani. Says the Marv, Chazar Gufa Isa B'Kedushin. But Chazar can happen by Kedushin. That means if somebody sends a shliach to be Mekadosh a woman on his behalf, he could change his mind. Says the Marv, B'Shlichus B'Karcha. We're talking about where the woman wasn't asked, the Eved wasn't asked. B'Gerushin, Midaraisa D'Alocha is, a man could divorce his wife even without her consent. Our owner could free his Eved without his consent. But Kedushin, one can never marry a woman without Lesa, but Kedushin Lesa, one can never marry a woman without her consent.